Welcome to Conscious Corner with Vanity. My name is Vanity Reed Dieterville. I'm a native of Charleston, South Carolina, a junior political science student at the College of Charleston, the lead podcast intern here at the Office of Sustainability, and a transgender woman of color who's forced to take a critical look at the intersections of her everyday involvement. I'm here to bring awareness to you about personal, social, economic, political, and environmental initiatives at the College of Charleston, which are more commonly referred to as the five pillars of sustainability. And I hope to highlight these initiatives for you through the sound of my voice. Welcome back to Conscious Corner with Vanity. This week, we have a very special guest with us today. This is the national founder of Collegiate Curls. I'm going to let this young lady introduce herself, and then we'll go from there.
What's up? My name is Courtney Hicks. I am a senior here at the college, a double major in communications and African-American studies, hailing from the wonderful city of Georgetown.
Oh, Georgetown.
South Carolina.
Our cousins.
Yes, thank you so much, Vanity, for having me on today. It's truly an honor.
No problem. And just for clarification, please restate your major and your pronouns for the crowd.
Both of my majors are communication, African American studies, no particular order. Just I declared communication first, and okay. She, hers.
Okay, sounds good. So we're just going to jump right in. Tell me what Collegiate Curls is.
Okay.
Let's get into that.
So the beautiful definition of Collegiate Curls, we are a natural hair, natural hair and health empowerment organization.
Okay.
So we are a natural hair organization centered on minority student uplift through healthy hair, skincare, and lifestyle practices that comes from using natural products, dealing with different elements of self-love and inclusion on various campuses through hair as our self-love medium. That's pretty much that piece.
Okay. And so I've seen Collegiate Curls very active through campus, and I've known them to be doing some work even before I returned to school for a few years, it seems like. So tell me what inspired you to found and create this organization. What was the driving force?
Well, Collegiate Curls as we know it now is totally different from Collegiate Curls as it initially started off as a concept. When I first came to the College of Charleston, I did Alana, which was a multicultural weekend experience. And then I did MOVE. And also it was MOVE during Acceptance Student Weekend.
Okay.
And me being a licensed cosmetologist, I always loved doing hair. And me and another girl were like, why don't we have a natural hair club? I was like, yeah,
professional
sure,
trade.
Sure, natural hair club. Mm-hmm. That sounds a little dope. But however, when my interest changed and my social justice activism spirit kind of came to light, I saw Collegiate Curls as something different than what I initially wanted it to be.
Like, what did you initially want it to be?
Initially, it was just going to be us getting together, deep conditioning, having pillow talk, talking about different things.
And I mean, that sounds fine.
I mean, it does sound fun. If we were going to do hair reviews, have a YouTube channel. Do hair, make directories. However, I felt as though the campus needed something different, and also I needed something different. And so with that vision, I created Collegiate Curls, kind of going off of a few things that I learned about the Black Panther Party and their Black is Beautiful campaign.
Wow.
So I wanted natural hair to be as a unifying factor, something that actually helped solidify our rights to be on this campus and also to showcase the beauty that we contain that mainstream media likes to actually divert and refurbish for white women versus Black and minority women. So that's kind of how the Collegiate Curls you see now transitioned. And I'm just so grateful and gracious that I had a wonderful team, Tamaja Pilsen, Zaylee Butler, Tamisha Moody, Deanna, and Christy, they were all on the initial team in Asia and so many other, I wish I could name all of them. They were on the initial team, and it was like each and every person had a different subject area that they wanted to do for holistic women health. Like Moody was with the active, get active, like
yeah,
active,
you pretty active.
Active mm-hmm. physical movement as a self-care element, as yes. self-love element. We had Chrissy, who was in the political sector. We had Zaylee, who was the queen of everything. And Moz, who was there to give you that love, support, and that kind of mom, nice auntie nourishment. So it yeah. was kind of a mixed bag of everyone's interest. It kind of produced this amazing organization that I'm so grateful and gracious to call my baby. So
I am, like, really excited for the few events that I've been able to attend with Collegiate Curls. It's the one intentional organization, I feel like, on campus that is really intentional about the uplift of the students who are considered the other
yeah.
and the visible minority of a predominantly white institution. So when I walk out of my classes, I get joy when I see Collegiate Curls welcomes you to College of Charleston.
I'm so glad
seeing those banners
that.
And stuff. it really makes me feel warm inside. But I know that everything is peaches and cream when it comes to uplifting and being intentional about diversity and inclusion. So with that being said, have you faced any adversity from outside bodies, students, entities, as you intentionally uplift and celebrate multicultural students? And if you have, how have you dealt with those adversities?
We got a lot of clout and support fast as an organization.
Okay.
And we were the diversity the college was advertising for years and didn't have, and mm-hmm. finally had a face they could put with it. So with that came a lot of outside organizations wanting to kind of like collab or create their own agenda within ours because they wanted to connect with the students.
So like co-opt your initiatives.
Yeah.
Okay.
And with that, I learned you can't work with everybody.
That's true.
You have to be intentional on who you collaborate with. You have to be intentional on the messages they have. And sometimes it can be as easy as, if we're doing a collab, I need to see what you're doing ahead of time. You need to run it by me. And we need to make sure that it is the same within our programming initiative and with what we stand for is aligning with what you're trying to do. You would think I would learn my lesson with that.
Sometimes you just can't say no. You know?
But, you know, sometimes, you know, especially with the organization, a lot of outside organizations use funding as a way to put their own agenda within minority organizations.
Oh,
say,
yes.
Oh, we're going to collab with you. We have a $2,500 grant for you to do this programming, but we kind of have to switch this up or tone this down.
Mm,
and sometimes you want to produce an event and you don't want to fundraise. Who want to sell donuts? Nobody wants to sell donuts.
It gets really monotonous, really tedious, real old.
So, yeah, you don't want to pursue that way all the time. So, just kind of going from that to actually, you know, hey, let us be intentional about what we're doing and actually letting people know, debrief and let them know, like, point blank, period,
mm-hmm.
what was going on, what you appreciated, what you did. It doesn't have to be rude or anything, but sometimes the people or the groups, they merely don't know. So it's just going through that piece. But I also have learned it's not my responsibility to educate everyone.
Oh no, you can't place that burden on yourself every time.
It's not my responsibility. So that's why it has to be more intentional with who we collaborate with and what we let them do, because we have to upbuild our own community first. And we can't completely upbuild and uplift that when we have to educate and fight for respect within a person that we're supposed to be collaborating with.
That makes a lot of sense. And I know that you are about to graduate and you're leaving us, and I'm trying to grapple with the fact that I won't see you
just
hopping through campus anymore, but I know that you have an amazing team of students who are going to carry on this legacy of Collegiate Curls. Do you feel like they're going to be equipped when it comes to making the right business and partnership decisions when it comes to the organization?
Of course. We have two of the hardest working whippersnappers, firecrackers as our new leadership. Aaliyah Johnson is now president, and Zaylee Butler is vice president. And the executive board is strong. They're hardworking. They've seen Collegiate Curls from beginning to now, and they see how their personal interests, what they want to do to fulfill the programming initiatives that we have. So I believe the momentum is going to continue. They're still planning and producing a great year for next year. You never know. I might pop back up on campus. You never know. know. Okay. God's playing, you never know. But it's when you have sown seeds in great ground, it is nothing but gonna bloom. But
come amazing on, sow a seed.
No, don't make me preach.
All right, I'll start shouting in here.
But but they're amazing. That's why I wanted to kind of have the transitional period while Maz and I were still on physical campus. So if they had any questions or concerns or want to learn different policies and procedure with room reservations or event planning, that they will have us at their leisure to kind of guide them through that process.
Okay. All right. Shout out to Aaliyah. Shout out to Zaylee, the greats. I love you both.
Yes.
Now, I'm sure myself as well as everybody else sees that you are flued out just about every other week. Or every other weekend. And so I appreciate seeing the movement. I like the geotags on Instagram.
Period.
I love it.
Of my data.
I'll see you in New York. You know, you'll be with the Benz rental car. You'll be on Clark Atlanta's campus. Next thing you know, you might be down in Miami. Who knows what's happening next?
No, I can't go right now. Too many people.
But every time I see you traveling, it's always with a purpose. And that brings me to the attention of the collegiate curls at different campuses. And I know that expanding must be an incredible amount of work. So can you tell those listeners what drove you to branch the organization into other collegiate campuses and what your biggest struggle has been while working to expand?
You know, that's why, and I don't want to get super spiritual on here, but that's a part of me. That's who I am.
Let them use you.
If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. I honestly did not recruit any of these schools until we didn't start doing a recruitment process until two semesters ago. And we've been in existence for almost six semesters.
Mm-hmm.
When you're passionate about something and you let passion drive your initiative or your baby, people are going to see it, and they're going to want to jump on that passionate wave. They're going to want to be a part of it. The first full semester in, I had a girl, Imani. She is our president at Johnson Wales Charlotte. She reached out to me, and she was like, I really want to try this organization on my campus. Is there a way I can? I was going to just create one, but I see what you're doing. I love how you're doing it. Can you charter? I was like, like, what's going
sound
on?
Sound kind of formal.
Like, I didn't know. What is chartering? What's going on? And then right afterward, USC DM'd me. Our president, Tina, DM'd me to talk about the pictures that we took and how she loves what we're doing. And she wanted to bring it to USC. Then next thing I know, Upstate. And it just continued to come. And that first leadership summit that we had that year, without us doing any recruitment, there were six schools present.
Wow.
And it really takes me aback every time I think about it. Because I'm like, there's no way that I could have done this on my own. It's when you let your passion drive what you love to do, you're going to get the people supporting you, the people wanting to be involved. So at first, it wasn't hard because we had programming initiatives and there's a monthly newsletter I send out, different things, health education.
So you've got a good framework already.
We have a good framework, but it's hard. Yeah. I must say it's hard. Me being a full-time student, also working full-time.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I do get a little slack, happy.
It happens.
To have Tamaja there, because mm-hmm. Tamaja is my organization in chaos. And each month we send updates. We send hair and health education, because not everybody's a licensed cosmetologist like myself.
Mm-hmm.
So we send hair and health education forms. We do updates on the website. So each sector is responsible for two sponsored blog posts on our website to help with traffic, help to also showcase what each sector is doing.
Okay.
And I let them have free range in their programming. And I believe that's another reason why Collegiate Curls work so well. I don't want students to see Collegiate Curls as an organization they have to pay money to be a part in, or wherein they have to contort to a specific status quo to be a member.
Yeah.
You're taking our initiatives, you're taking our goals, and you're contorting it to your campus dynamic.
Okay.
So, underneath our programming initiatives, you just pick, you pick what program you want to do, mm-hmm. what program your exec wants to produce. Because when you're told to do something, it usually isn't produced as well as when you think it up and you make it yourself.
Okay.
So, and I don't know your campus dynamics. Like, what were...
Right, only you can personalize that.
Yeah, so like when we did a Halloween racial insensitivity forum, there's certain, like, we're on HBCUs. They're not going to necessarily experience need as to do much that programming. Yeah. of that as here. So there's different subtopics that they can pick. And these kids, students, they're not kids, but I call them my kids. They're
young
my
adults.
they have produced some of the most amazing events I've ever seen. Like, this one, they just do great at it. So with that, we do have national events, like our Leadership Summit and Melanated Magic, which has been giving us
a lot of money. Melanated Magic?
But they just have different events that we like to do nationally that we have everybody be involved in. So it's basically free range. There's an application process when they begin and also a petition to make sure it has longevity on their campus.
Okay.
But it's pretty much... It's coaching.
Now, you mentioned some program initiatives. What are the different collegiate curl program initiatives?
Okay. So we have our hair health and education, which we try to at least have one program at a semester centered on hair health education.
Okay.
Our theme this year was embracing hair textures.
We love healthy hair.
Period.
Period.
and then we have our community outreach and service. So we like for them to do things in their grassroots community, such as like, here we have a Collegiate Curls classroom, so we sponsor various classrooms. It must be a Title I teacher of color.
Very nice.
We supply them with school supplies. Each of our sectors, we do an application process, and they get 3 installments of school supplies throughout the year. So that helps Title I teachers get that. We have an international service project, which is My Sister's Keeper, the OG one, where we have a school in South Africa that we provide reading glasses for.
Really? Whoa. Okay, you blew me out the water with that one.
We provide reading glasses for hygienic supplies.
That's amazing.
Books with Black female character leads.
Representation.
And we kind of have a pen pal program with that also. So, no, that's our 3 programming initiatives. So we do hair health education, community outreach, and also our international service project. But with community outreach, we also do classroom visits, which I believe are important, so important to actually have Black and brown women and men to go into these schools in all their natural glory.
Yeah.
And let them know that, you know.
Let the kids see what greatness looks like.
Period. but that's what we do.
Okay. So kind of back on the topic of the expansion. And I know you said it was hard work to make sure that everything continues. But have you received any like backlash from anybody or any opposition from people who may think that you're doing too much with expanding or those who try to rain on your parade with the good work that you do? What's been a commonality of something that's come against you when just trying to do the work that you find fulfilling, if any?
I gotta be careful how I write it. You gotta be careful. I don't know. Haters gonna hate, ballers gonna ball.
I mean, that's what they say. You know, that's how the story goes.
And honestly, sometimes people can confuse what you're doing with you doing it for clout. And we live in a generation that does a lot of stuff for clout and clout only.
Yeah.
They don't have any type of real emotional and physical ties to the work they're doing. They're taking pictures, they want photo ops, and they want to push it out versus actually doing the work and wanting the work to sustain. So I've had friends come and friends go, but I've also, you know, certain events or certain things I've done, I've been kind of told that I've been out of my lane.
Oh, wow.
or that I need to go back to just doing hair things and not necessarily, you know, doing events that may, you know, be centered around like social justice theme or around Black uplift or things like that. And hair is a framework of all political movements. If you look, if you reflect Kathleen Cleaver, her fro was dangerous. A little bit of history for us. Her fro was dangerous.
You're right.
Angela Davis.
Angela Davis was, her fro was dangerous. A threat because of her
afro. Was dangerous. If hair wasn't such a big part of our political and global scale of how we view Black women in their role in society, we wouldn't have the army banning certain Black hairstyles. We wouldn't have people racially profiling someone who has locks.
Yeah.
So hair in its own right, Black women, Black men in their own truth, with the aesthetic of hair, is tied into everything. You can't negate it from anything.
Wow.
So me kind of, and I want everybody to love me. I know that's a bad trait. Like, I want everybody to love me. I want everybody to really, like, enjoy who I am and what I do. So, of course, I backtracked from that because I was like, I don't want to step on people's toes. But those type of events I enjoyed. So
it was those more, are what get the real conversations going.
It was more or less me taking a step back and listening to my exec and asking them what they wanted to do.
Okay.
Versus me brainstorming these brainchilds of what I wanted to do so that they could work within it and I wouldn't have to, and I wouldn't seem as though I'm trying to step on other people's programming or other orgs. Main basis of what they wanted to do.
Okay.
So, that's that.
Okay. All right. So either way, we push through, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, in the realm of sustainability, we talk about personal sustainability, and basically that encompasses how you get through day to day. What are the functions that allow you to live what you believe to be a good quality of life with all that you have going on? What is it that sustains you, and how do you carry out the functions of your life? Are things that you do unsustainable? Are there things that you can give up? And basically what I'm asking you is, what continues to drive you to do the work that you do now? And what do you rely on in order to sustain you when things may seem like they're getting rough?
So just to be transparent, this last year I've been really battling really bad bouts of depression.
Thank you for sharing that, first of all.
Yeah, no worries. So, it's been kind of difficult for me to do what I want to do. Because when I go through things emotionally, I tuck away in a corner. I go to sleep. I stay in the bed. I don't want to be around people. I just stay in my corner. I'll still be happy-go-lucky when you see me, but when I get home, I'm just like, ugh. So in the midst of me battling with that and seeking counseling, number one, Black people, seek counseling.
Please don't make it think that it looks you, it makes you look weak. Please don't do that.
Me growing up in the Black church, I've always had, you know, just pray about it. God gonna work it out. It's not too bad. You're not getting stoned, all of that stuff. But sometimes life is hard. And when you're wearing so many different hats, and if you're a people person like me, and sometimes somebody doesn't understand your personality or what you do, and they can really hit you hard.
Yeah.
And they can hit you like, I'm still doing this. I'm doing all this work. And you're not seeing me for who I am. You're seeing me for what you hear. And so one thing that I've been doing, I've been seeking counseling. I've been actually, when I feel myself going to funks, I take the time to actually look at what I've done and the impact I've made and see how my life has impacted the lives of others.
It's really hard sometimes to look back and on the things that you've accomplished or the good that you've done. I've had to sit back and people have asked me, do you ever sit back and just think about what you,
your mind?
It's crazy. Sometimes we beat ourselves down so much because if you're anything like me, I continue to question if I'm doing enough all the time.
And we live in a generation where, yes, we are a lot of clout seekers at times. Like not you, but a lot of a big majority of clout seekers.
Yeah.
But also, people are selfless. Yes. You don't want to say, I did this, that, and another. You want to just let your work speak for you. Exactly. And sometimes you have to take back and look at yourself and say, I'm an ish.
Like, I've done this. Self-affirmations.
Yes, you have to affirm yourself. And that's another thing. I write down my affirmations. Even in my house.
I've seen the mirror. I actually need to adopt that strategy. If anybody doesn't know, Courtney's mirror is filled with the most beautiful self-affirmations. And honestly, there are days when I wake up and just stare at myself in the mirror and just have to pep talk myself to get ready for the day. But having something written down on the mirror like that, I think, is a tool that I'm going to start using. And if you don't use it already, I advise that you try it out.
And I don't use sticky notes. Index card and tape it, because sticky notes will fall. And thinking about the self-affirming statements that I write, I don't look them up. I write down areas I think I'm weak or areas I know I'm struggling with, and I write down affirmations created and crafted just for that specific moment. So one of the ones that really helps me is one I had wrote that, like, a couple months ago. It's like, leave home situations home. God placed you here for a reason. Because there's sometimes, especially when you have so many different responsibilities, and you're still at school, you're trying to do all this other stuff, you're trying to self-sustain yourself, you're trying to pay bills, you're trying to make sure you stay on these lists, and all this other stuff. And sometimes home situations can come in and infiltrate you, because you can't even operate in your vows away. So that's one thing that's been really helping me, is writing those things down and actually saying them and saying them out loud. Because it's power in your words, it's power in your voice, it's power in your hearing things.
Definitely.
It's one thing to internalize it, but you actually saying these things can completely change how you perceive yourself and how you perceive others. Mm-hmm. So that's been really helping me self-sustain, is putting myself first and sometimes taking a break. Like,
yes.
You can be so involved and so deeply ingrained into the work you're doing until it can make you hate what you're doing because you don't have no other time for yourself.
And it's not supposed to be that way.
It's not. So sometimes you have to take a break to actually rekindle the fire you once had. And I had to do that. So that's ways in which I have to self-sustain myself and self-sustain my org in order for it to be as noteworthy as it is, in order for me to still be able to be sane throughout everything that has transpired and all the changes and all the tests and essays and things. So that's how I've been able to self-sustain everything.
Perfect. Well, Ms. Hicks, I'm not going to keep you too long. I do thank you sincerely for stopping by to Conscious Corner with Vanity and letting us know what's up.
We love
saying hi to the followers right now. We love the publicity. But at this moment, I'm going to give you some time. If there are any events coming up right now or anything that you'd like to plug in for the people to know and to go check out or be ready for, now's the time.
Okay, so if you are a senior, and you have attended 3 or more events, you do have the opportunity to receive our Lavender Graduation Court.
Wow.
And that's basically showing that you have been a support system and one of the influential members of Collegiate Curls. And also, who don't want to look decked out on graduation?
You gotta be. You gotta have the cords for graduation.
And also, we are going to be introducing some summertime events. So that's going to be summer transitioning to fall. It's going to be national events. So that way you'll be able to see the Collegiate Curls Network not only in College of Charleston, but nationally. So make sure you're following Collegiate Curls NATL, our national page, and also keep it up on the website.
That's on Instagram.
Yes, Instagram. And www.collegiatecurls.org. Updates will be happening on there. And just stay tuned. The best is yet to come. I don't want to reveal too much.
We'll keep
we are really excited. Everyone loves hair products. So
yes.
That's another thing.
Courtney gave me some hair products from Curls, and it was amazing. My hair smelled like juices and berries for days, and so I appreciate that. Well, everyone, thank you for tuning in to this week's Conscious Corner with Vanity and with Ms. Courtney C. Hicks, and we'll see you next time.
Synergies is a digital platform produced by the Office of Sustainability at the College of Charleston to educate, inspire, and mobilize students, staff, and the greater community to embody sustainability in their work and their lives. We intend Synergies to be a community resource with articles, essays, artwork, podcasts, and DIY projects connected with creating a thriving Earth for all.